Hi, Lauren.
Hi.
I'm so happy to be talking with you today. How are you doing out there in Iowa City?
So far, so good.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, the occasion for our conversation is that the fall winter 2021 issue of Colorado Review is now out. It just came to us yesterday, and it features our first ever graphic narrative by you. So
Nice.
yeah, so I'm really excited to be opening this up, this new genre for us, and I'm so pleased that yours is the inaugural piece. So thanks again for letting me publish it and for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
I thought we could just start by talking about you. And I mean, clearly we're talking because you do graphic memoir, but let's just start by talking about, but what do you do for your day job?
For my day job, I work for the University of Iowa, running what's called the Writing University Website Initiative, which is basically an archive of all the readings that have taken place here in Iowa City over the years, a news outlet, an events listing, sort of a online showcase and gathering area for people to be part of the writing community here out here in Iowa City. And I run that. It has multiple components to it. And I get to work with a lot of different people.
Great. And you ended up in Iowa City because you went there to do your MFA. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I actually
Okay.
did my undergrad here too.
Oh.
I came to Iowa City when I was 18.
And you are
Did
still
not
here.
ex I am still here. I did not expect to still be here, but
College towns have a way of
they do.
keeping people.
If they want you, they keep
They
you.
keep you. Yeah. Well, so in the piece that we published, and it's an excerpt from Team Photograph, you talk about your first attempts at writing poetry when you were a child. And it's because you were living in Virginia in an area where there are a lot of Civil War sites.
Yeah.
And these sites had kind of a powerful effect on you. You call them visions. The ghosts that you saw, and that poetry was a way for you to explain those visions. And then, of course, we know you went on to get your undergraduate and then your MFA in poetry. But I'm curious when you first started drawing.
My drawing journey was parallel with my writing journey. In high school and college, I tried as much as I could to continue to do both. I wasn't willing to choose one over the other. And so for a long period of time, I would be working with, printmakers or visual artists, and then also in workshops, writing. And so I ended up publishing books of poetry, and I think that that would probably be considered your first like professional foray into one or the other. So before I had like any art shows or anything like that, I was publishing books of poetry, and so I guess poetry won out in a weird way. It doesn't surprise me at all that I tried to f have tried now to fuse them together, since I've just been doing both of those things my whole life.
Well, when we published your book Instead of Dying, you drew the artwork for the cover. Was
Yeah.
that the first time that your graphics and your poetry came together in a printed piece?
My first book, Calendae, had a painting on the cover that I
That's
had
right.
done. So, and I had made a maybe one or two like poetry comics from Calendar. So I had already sort of delved into the idea of like using the graphic novel to display a poem.
Well, I love the cover of Instead of Dying, and that's where I was first introduced to your graphics, and I think it's just a great cover. Let's talk about what you're doing right now, and that is a lot of these single panel comics that mm-hmm. you've been sharing on Facebook and Instagram, mostly Instagram, right?
And yeah.
So I've noticed that, probably no surprise, a lot of the comics are about anxiety. And I think you started posting these regularly during the pandemic.
Yeah, I had at the beginning of the pandemic, I couldn't stop thinking about the virus, couldn't stop looking up all the numbers, all of that stuff. And I thought, I need a break from this. And so drawing a comic was one of the first times really my brain thought about something else other than, you know, the pandemic. And I thought, okay, we need to focus on this because it's healthy to think about something else, and it's healthy to concentrate on something else in the midst of all of this. And so it started to become a daily thing where I had a, you know, like a list of ideas, list of different topics maybe I would want to address, and then decide which one to draw that day. And I was trying to post them daily for a while. I have not posted them daily in a while, but I was trying to post them daily.
What kind of response have you had to these?
I mean, people really like them. I wanted to keep them lightweight and funny. I wanted to, you know, they were entertaining for me to make. And so I wanted to keep them entertaining for everyone else. And so basically, the more that I drew them, the more sort of my audience expanded and people seemed to really like look forward to them and read them. It was always fun to get the comments on them. So like I would post something and then, you know, there'd be a discussion underneath. And I loved that, just seeing everyone else's different takes on my idea or, you know, what I had thought, or embarrassing thing that I, you know, notice I do at my house or something like that.
I think that's one of the really great things about literature. And I do think that these, you know, these comics are a text, and I think that we can call them literature. But, you know, when you read something and you think, I thought I was the only one who ever thought that. And it feels so nice to know that you aren't alone, that someone else has felt that very strange thing. And I'm thinking of a few of the panels, and one of them, you know, maybe I could use two tea bags, but do I deserve it?
Yeah. Just this like, you know, this voice inside my head that I've grown up with, it's been there for quite a while. I don't know where it came from, but is very, depression era grandmother.
Oh, sure.
Very kind of strict, you know, always checking in on whether or not I'm being spoiled or acting like a spoiled brat, or, right. You know, it's like, and none of these things, it's like, I don't know where this voice came from. I don't know why it's there, but it's like so prominent in my life. And it was, especially at the beginning of the pandemic. So I started just like writing it down.
we were being so careful, you know,
we were
going to the store once a week instead of every day. And, you know, so maybe you shouldn't use two tea bags at once.
But, I don't know. I was like, well, it tastes better with two tea bags. Like, is this allowed?
You deserve it.
Tea bags. Yeah.
You deserve it, Lauren. Yeah. I think that those were fabulous, fabulous panels. And I suspect that there were a lot of people out there. I'm not the only one who appreciated the dailiness or the new near dailiness of them. And just knowing that, yes, we're all struggling in our own weird little ways. And you're just able to really capture that. But moving from the single panels to a narrative, did that feel like a big leap? I found myself wondering, is this like moving from the short story to the novel? Maybe just apples and oranges, but what was that like for you?
I mean, well, I had already been working on the narrative panels before I started the single panels, actually. Okay. So several of those had already been finished as this project that I was working on. And then I started doing the individual panels just when we were stuck at home. But for team photograph, those narrative panels that sort of describe my process of, you know, both investigating the fields I played on in Northern Virginia and the house I grew up in, they started as paragraphs. So I had started as sort of just describing in a short, maybe two paragraph essay in between sections of the poetry, trying to give the poetry a little bit more of like a structure. Because one of the poems in this book is I wrote when I was 18. So, I mean, I've been working on this book for a really long time.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
I feel like we actually should say right here, let's give this some context. So this book that you're talking about, Team Photograph, it's a book length project. It's hybrid. You have seven sections, right? Of combinations alternating of narrative, graphic memoir, and then poetry. And this book is coming out from Sarah Band about a year from now in November 2022. And do you want to, let's back up just a little bit. Do you want to talk about a little bit about what the book is about before we start talking about the structure of it?
Sure. Yeah. So basically this book explores my childhood growing up in Northern Virginia, where I played soccer by different battlefields, but specifically I played soccer a lot at a park called Bull Run Regional Park, which was right next to Bull Run, the Manassas National Battlefield, the Battle of Bull Run. And also when I was a child, I would wake up and see people in my room. It's a phenomenon called hypnagogia, where you're waking up from sleep and you can see objects, people, and then they disappear. But
that space between wake and sleep, and sometimes it's hard to differentiate whether you're awake or asleep.
You can see your room, the room is there, everything seems real, but then there's also this an additional person or object. So basically I was trying to investigate, one, what were these, you know, visions I was seeing? Two, could they have been connected to the battlefields? And then three, sort of exploring the idea of sport as sort of a representation of war, and the fact that we were playing soccer really close to these fields. And then also I wanted to explore sort of the idea of how I started to learn how to write poetry and how I learned some of the forms, you know, like erasure poem forms, or gathering of different texts to weave together texts, that sort of thing.
I just realized, this is so obvious, but this is actually, it's kind of a triple hybrid, this book, because it's memoir.
Yeah.
It's creative nonfiction, it's poetry, and it's graphic. I mean, this is this, do you know, is there anything else out there like this? Are you the only one to have done this so far?
I don't know.
I don't know either. We can fact check that later. But
I don't think there's anything exactly like this.
Where you certainly haven't seen anything. I mean, you didn't model it on anything.
No, I didn't. I basically had this manuscript of poetry and wanted to expand on it, and trying to expand on it made it into this sort of hybrid form.
Right.
Which then was also pretty difficult to sell, honestly.
Well, Sarah Band is going to do such a great job with it. I'm so happy.
I'm so happy to be with Sarah Band. I'm over the moon, but
they do beautiful books.
But it was interesting to try to, you know, to show it to a lot of different places. And you know, one thing about the publishing world is novelty is a little bit of a thorn in your side. You know, if you don't have, what do they call them?
Oh, like the categories, the book category. Well, this is a memoir. This is a novel. This is poetry. Yeah.
And you don't have like I forget what you call the books that go ahead of you, like the specs or whatever. If you don't have like a pathway like that you can describe or you can show to, I mean, a lot of times publishers will just say, okay, we don't know how we would sell this.
Right.
We think it's interesting, but we have to pass on it. And so I was getting a lot of that.
Yeah. I think sometimes too, it just comes down to where would a bookseller put this?
Yeah, exactly. You know,
they don't have a shelf for this.
Right.
So it's not like you could say, it's like Fun Home, and they say, oh, it's a graphic memoir. That's right. Where it will go. But it's poetry, but it's not.
But it also is poetry. Yeah. So I'm excited to see. I would love for this sort of genre to take off. I don't know if it could, but I love the idea of like having a graphic novel section describing how the poetry came about, like, so that you're learning about how the poetry was written through the book. We'll see.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it. I mean, I've seen it in manuscript form, and I can't wait to see what they do with it. I mean, at the same time, I know what they're going to do with it. They're going to make it beautiful, and it's going to look probably very similar to how it looks in manuscript form. The graphics will stay the same. It'll just be that they're, you know, they'll choose a typeface for the poems. But that makes me think of, and this is kind of a little detail question, a little bit in the weeds, but I'm such a really obsessed with people's handwriting. And I'm really curious about the lettering that you do for your pieces. I think it's such a fun face. You know, I called it a typeface, but it's not a typeface.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it's all caps for those listeners, all caps. You have lowercase I's. It's friendly. It's organic. And I'm wondering, is this is the lettering that you use for your graphics, is that similar to your everyday handwriting?
It is similar. It's a lot neater than my everyday handwriting. I write a lot slower when I'm doing the comic font, but I do try to include parts of my own handwriting in there to give it some personality.
Did you have to try out a few designs of that?
I tried. It really came down to legibility, and so I was, all of my texts, most of them are white letters on a black background.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it really came down to like, oh, that had to be really clear and legible there for a reader to be able to discern what's happening. And so that really forced me to pattern it in such a way that it would be structured and readable.
And consistent. It's, you know, yeah, very consistent. Yeah. Yeah. Knockout type of, you know, coming out of black, you know, white coming out of black is challenging anyway, even with like digital typefaces. I imagine with the kind of lettering you do, but the lettering you do is pretty bold. So, it, you know, you've got that going for it. But I think it's really unique and I just like it. So
thanks.
Yeah. I also wanted to, well, something that I'm really curious about too is your characters in your narrative pieces, sort of your alter ego. They're all animals. And I think they're wolves. Are they wolves?
They're wolves. Yeah.
They're wolves. Okay. We've gone, round and round in the office. Are they dogs? Are they wolves? Are they foxes?
They can clearly be whatever.
We need to, you know, spend a little more time on our canine identification skills. But so tell me about that. I'm so curious. How did you land on, like, why are they wolves? Why are they not people? And why wolves in particular? Why not cats? Or,
well, my brother who passed away, Ryan, loved wolves. And he was just obsessed with wolves. And so after he passed, I drew a couple portraits of him, and he had a wolf head. I just drew him with a wolf head. And then I realized I really like how that looks. I like how it looks to draw a human body with a wolf head. I'm much better at drawing a wolf head than a human head. I like the chin part of the human face is very difficult for me to draw, so a snout is just a lot easier. And so I started a portrait of him with a wolf head, and then after that I thought, man, I like that look, and so started to sort of integrate it into other pieces of art. And then when I started on this book, I thought, yeah, they're all going to be wolves.
I just noticed that they have fingers. They have hands.
Yeah. Yeah, they have
human people. I love them so much. I mean, the expressions that they have. I'm looking at you, your wolf alter ego as a child, struggling to write, and you know, the eyes are all squinty, and you know, you're clearly stressed out. And I think it's so remarkable that these wolf characters can express these human emotions with these animal faces. I guess, you know, lots of animals in comics are, Snoopy was able to do that, right?
We get
some Snoopy's expressions too, but your wolf people are so fabulous and adorable, and with their human hands holding pencils.
Yeah. Yeah. Writing. Yeah. Erasing.
Erasing
and writing.
Yeah. It's just fabulous. So you haven't seen it yet. This graphic, these pages I'm showing you over Zoom. And of course the color here, I'm under fluorescent light here in our fabulous podcast studio in the basement of Tiley House on the Colorado State campus. But we got the actual issues yesterday. And I think it looks so great. You know, the paper is cream and these are all color, but your palette is really interesting to me. And I'm curious about the choices that you made. So these panels, some of them are just black and white, and those are the panels that indicate a memory that you're going, or something that happened a long time ago.
Right.
But the pieces that are the panels that are in kind of the present time of the story are in color, but you've got you have limited your palette. You've given yourself a kind of a color constraint of green, yellow, orange, black, and blue. And can you talk about those choices?
I had to find a sort of green palette to be able to do the soccer fields. And I love like olives. I like olive colors and sort of off greens. And so I decided on maybe three or four different green shades that varied between olive and then dark green to do the landscape. And then the sky, I wanted to have sort of a almost like a mysterious colored sky. So it is kind of like almost it's not blue. It's a strange color.
It looks like celery to me. I would call it celery. So it's green.
And
it's a green sky.
And sort of this idea of, you know, being on the soccer field as the sun setting, or as you're playing this game, and you know, the field itself is this magical zone that holds all of the action inside of it. And then also, just trying to coordinate those colors then with the different team uniforms, or with some of the color coordination that happens inside, like in the libraries or the research. And so I'm very drawn to oranges, blues, and greens. And so a lot of this graphic novel is combinations of those.
It's really, I think I called it autumnal. It's very warm.
Yes.
It's rich. It's vibrant. And I think it's so much more affecting than using just all the colors. You know, it's
right.
It has its own look, and I can't wait for you to see it.
I knew I needed to have a constraint on it, because I knew that if you just let me use all the colors, that it would be chaotic. So
I knew
I had to go in with this constraint.
You want to talk about what your next project, are you working on something, another graphic hybrid piece, or something else altogether different? I know you do a lot of different things.
I mean, right now I'm still trying to work on those quarantine comics that I had been drawing, and I think eventually we'll probably put them together into a collection, possibly called Mom Boy.
Right.
Because that's the name my daughter gave me.
Yes.
And so I'm trying to see if there are enough there to put together some sort of collection, you know, of just comics that would be, you know, viable for the world. And
looking forward to hearing more about that and seeing something. Do you want to leave us with any recommendations of graphic memoirs or comic artists that you follow?
Oh, I mean, I love Chris Ware. I discovered Chris Ware when I was a freshman here at the University of Iowa, and it just, his work just changed my entire understanding of graphic novels and comics. And he is, the way that he maneuvers on the page with the words and with his drawings is, it's poetic to me. I could see poetry in there pretty immediately. And so he's one I go back to over and over and over again. Yeah. Just because of the way he manipulates even just like the pauses on a page, you know,
right,
with the drawings.
Yeah, and what you choose to leave maybe unnarrated.
Yeah.
Those, I guess those are the pauses, the unnarrated panels.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, fabulous.
Yeah, so I've always just adored his work, and I'll go back to it over and over just to remember how he does it. Like, how do you extend a line in a reader's mind? How do you extend, you know, a thought through time using visuals?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And you're more or less self-taught, right? I mean, did you take any courses in this?
I mean, I took art courses, I guess, in high school and college, but I didn't take any specific graphic novel courses. Right. So I would just look at the comics that I like, and then I would not copy them, but I would figure out, oh, what parts of this do I enjoy? What parts are calling to me? And then try to replicate the same sort of like style or the same sort of movement across a page.
Right. Yeah.
So, and like Kristen Radke's work as well. It's very inspiring. Alison Bechdel, that,
of course,
just watching all of these graphic novelists use research was also really inspiring.
Did you read Alison Bechdel's Are You My Mother?
Yeah.
That was,
and fun.
Yeah, of course, and Fun Home, but I'm just thinking in terms of incorporating research, Are You My Mother is so research heavy and so delightful.
Of
course.
I love, you know, and I love the way that she will, you know, illustrate the research text that she's working from, and she draws the text, you know, like as though it's in the book. I always thought that always just blew my mind, surprised me.
Like, and you kind of that too in Team Photograph.
Yes,
where we're looking at these signs, you know, that you see in national parks or at national monuments where there's a description. And so you've done something really clever to indicate, you know, that we're looking at this sign, but you've brought the text out for us. And it looks like a typeface. It's the lettering, you have done it, but it's very different from the lettering that you use for your own narration.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I use more of a serif font for research material. And then I use the sort of sans serif handwritten font
for your own
own narrative. Yeah.
I think it's called Haldeman Sans, isn't it? I'm pretty sure that's
called
what it
Haldeman
is.
Sands.
Haldeman Sans. Yeah.
It should be called Haldeman Sans. I should name it that, put it out there for sure.
Yeah. Well, Lauren, it has been so delightful to catch up with you and talk about this.
Yeah.
And I have been wanting graphic narrative, graphic memoir in Colorado Review for so long. And I'm so pleased that yours is the first one. And I'm really looking forward to opening the magazine up to more of that. And
cool.
I just so appreciate you being the first.
It's exciting. I'm thrilled.
Thank you.
And thanks for having me.